All right, we're coming back here. Segment number three, and we're going to pivot, Habbo. We're going to go to lacrosse. The Wahoos are doing quite well in the polls. In fact, you know, they've moved all the way up.
They moved to six, but then slipped a little bit.
They slipped back to nine, but they're obviously getting some respect, which is great. And, you know, the real meat of the schedule is coming. High Point is Wednesday, and that's an important game for Virginia to keep, get some momentum back after the loss over the weekend. But then the Cavaliers travel up to Syracuse, New York, to play the Orangemen in a big game. It's been a long time since Virginia's beaten the Orange up there.
Yeah, let me inject one thing here before we go to Doug Tarrion and talk more lacrosse. Important program information. Next week, because of a conflict with VCU, Who's Talking will be on Tuesday night.
Same time
as always, 6 o'clock, and our featured guest next week is the 2017 Virginia ACC tournament or basketball legend, Junior Burrow. So Junior will be joining us next Tuesday night at 6 o'clock, which is good because in all likelihood, Virginia will play their first ACC tournament game on Wednesday. So we'll be on the air on the eve of the Virginia game on Wednesday.
And, with a big preview of the tournament.
Absolutely, and there'll be two games already in the books by the time we come on the air Tuesday night. But anyway, back to Doug.
Doug, welcome to Who's Talking. This is Frank, and we're delighted that you can join us tonight.
Well, thank you all for having me. Appreciate it. And Jim and I go back a long way. Jim, good to hear from you.
Absolutely. We're contemporaries, you know, back in the day. We're youngsters, as they say.
Right. We're not going to do the chronology part of this.
The numbers are so big I can't add that, but, you know, I get confused.
Exactly.
Well, Doug, first off, we know you do terrific work on the radio.
Well, thank you.
You know, I try to do some research of all our guests before every show, and I read a number of news reports online, and it looked like you retired and then came back or something. I mean, I know you
were... Frank, I was the athletic director and head lacrosse coach at St. Anne's Belfield for many, many years. I actually started teaching and coaching there, and Jim will remember back in 1973, right out of UVA after playing on a national championship team in 1972. In 2009, I fired myself as the head lacrosse coach and then stepped down as the athletic director. So now I'm working in the alumni office because probably nobody's been at their school as long as I have. I can remember somebody who graduated in 70. So I'm enjoying that transition, and I'm still coaching now. I'm coaching a middle school team.
Well, you know, it's interesting, Doug. I remember when you were on the team in 72 when you guys won the national title, and I really was excited about the game. I spent my whole life, particularly my youth, playing a lot of tennis, and so that conflicted with learning the game of lacrosse. But it's funny, when I got to UVA, I bumped into Botto Pellington, of all people. He had an extra stick. He said, come over here, I need to practice. So I learned to throw with Botto Pellington way back in the day.
Well, I went to high school at the same high school that Botto went to, St. Paul School. And, of course, I grew up in Baltimore watching his dad, Bill Pellington, play with the Baltimore Colts. And Botto and his brother Mark were both outstanding players at UVA. So you learned from a very good player.
You know, I enjoyed watching his games, and it was so painful when he hurt his knee. But, I think for everyone that followed the team, because he was having an All-American type of campaign and everything. But so go back and let's talk about the current UVA team with the new Virginia head coach, which is hard to say almost, but Lawrence Tiffany sure is a great guy, and he seems to have inspired the players to learn how to play this up-tempo, semi-always fast-breaking type of lacrosse. What do you think?
Well, you know, it's exciting to watch, and again, I think anyone who watches a game of lacrosse enjoys a game when it's high-scoring, fast-paced. I mean, I think that's the way the game was intended to be played. You know, for Virginia, Lawrence Tiffany and bringing his entire staff from Brown is a great pickup in terms of the Virginia coaching situation. Of course, you know, he's a protege of Coach Starza, and I think anyone who has followed the Virginia program knows that Coach Starza put that program certainly at the highest level, you know, national championships, ACC championships. And so, you know, Lars played for Dom at Brown. And so the transition has been very smooth, both for the coaching staff and for the players. And again, I think, you know, when you look at the team, all those players are recruits from Coach Starza and Coach Mark Van Arsdale. And so they're really playing a different style of game, but it's still a lot of the same kids. And I think, as you said, the pace of the game is exciting. And even though the loss on Saturday was a kind of a tough loss, the trend is certainly upwards.
Doug, the loss on Saturday, Penn was successful in slowing that pace down. From a lacrosse coaching standpoint, how do you speed up the game against a team that's trying to control the tempo?
Well, you got to remember that Penn had played against a lot of the Brown teams that Coach Tiffany came from. So in some ways, Penn probably had a very good preparation, even though it was a different team or different players. Penn had played that Brown team last year that went to the Final Four. So in terms of style, they were prepared. And one of the things they did very well was they just kind of conceded the middle of the field. They kind of dropped back. They played a lot of zone. As you know, from basketball, the best way to stop a running team sometimes is to, retreat quickly, get back in the zone, force outside shots, make them make more passes instead of just, running hard to the goal. So Penn did a nice job of actually slowing Virginia down. But what Penn did very well is they on the other end, kind of ran back at Virginia. Sometimes they always say teams that like to run one way aren't necessarily liking to go the other way. And Penn capitalized on maybe a little bit of Virginia's inability to score in the half field and turn some of their goals into transition. So Penn had a very good game plan, and Coach Tiffany gave him credit. If you read his quotes, he was very complimentary of the way Penn played.
We are speaking with Doug Tehring, UVA's radio analyst for the lacrosse broadcast. Doug, when you're watching the team, and by the way, we need to mention that Zed Williams was named ACC Offensive Player of the Week today, which I thought was quite a coup for him. And when you're watching the team this year, what changes have not been made yet to suit what Tiffany wants to do? Does that make sense?
And Lars could tell you that it's a work in progress. I mean, he's coming in with really just a fall season and only four games. And so, he says, I'm learning as I'm watching. I mean, he said in some ways, I want the players to feel free. I want them to feel that they can make mistakes and still not worry about turnovers. So he's trying to instill a mentality as much as a physical style of play where he wants the players to not worry about making mistakes. Of course, you always want to minimize mistakes as a coach. But, he's trying to get his team just to feel comfortable at playing at a fast pace and, learning to, be aggressive all over the field. He wants his defense to play more aggressively. He wants his team to press to the middle of the field. One thing he has done that's really been successful, he allows players to stay on the field. And of course, in lacrosse, you can substitute on the fly. You can run people in and out and substitute while the game's going on. He thinks if you're in the game, it's kind of what I call the stay-and-play mentality.
Right.
If they're in the game, he wants people to run up and down the field. If you play defense, go play offense. If you were on offense, and what he tries to do is catch teams trying to do the opposite, which means they're trying to run people off the field. And it's been very effective. I mean, he did a great job in his first two games, a huge win against Loyola at that time, a top five team, and then a nice win against Drexel and Siena. So I think he's done a great job of getting his style of play instituted very quickly. And you talk to the players afterwards, and they walk off the field with a lot of enthusiasm.
Doug, who's the team to beat in the ACC this year?
Well, the ACC certainly is the strongest lacrosse conference in the country, no question about it. Carolina, the defending national champ, got beat by Hopkins last week. Duke always seems to lose a couple games early and then hit their stride once we get into tournament play. You can't forget Kevin Cargan's team at Notre Dame. So I think it's five very even teams. Syracuse lost to Army last week. At this point in the season, I wouldn't want to, make a prediction, but I have to believe this year is a year where all five ACC teams have a great chance of making the NCAA tournament.
Yes. In the polls that came out today, Notre Dame is number four. The Tar Heels are number seven and number six, depending upon the poll. UVA is number nine in one poll inside lacrosse and the number 11 in the USILA. Syracuse is 10th. And then farther on down the list, you can see that University of Richmond, who UVA plays on April 1st in Richmond, is now number 12. And I think that's the highest ranking they've ever had in men's lacrosse since they started the game just a few years ago with for the Spiders.
Well, and I think Richmond is deservedly so. In fact, there's two boys that played at St. Ann's Belfield that are on the Richmond team. And I think one thing about lacrosse has been the growth of the game, and Jim can certainly relate to this. When we were in school, it was pretty much a Long Island, Baltimore, type of schools where they were the predominant strengths. And when we played, the strongest teams were Hopkins, Maryland, Virginia, and the two service academies, Army and Navy. And now Denver's the number one team in the country. High Point beat Virginia last year. Richmond beat Duke last year. So the game is definitely growing and expanding, and certainly the high schools at both the men's and women's level are just exploding with a number of players. So I think the Richmond-Virginia game is going to be a great game, and it creates a great in-state rivalry between two Division I lacrosse programs.
Agreed. Totally agreed. UVA's schedule over the next few weeks, High Point is this Wednesday night. Obviously, they're very dangerous. Syracuse is this weekend up there, Sunday at high noon. Cornell, that game was moved to the left coast to participate in some crazy special event. Virginia's playing them on the March the 11th at 9 p.m. Notre Dame follows at home just a week later, and then Johns Hopkins. And I've heard that the Hopkins game up in Baltimore is either sold out or nearly sold out already. And then obviously the Spiders in Richmond on April 1st. What do the Cavaliers need to do in these next few weeks to sort of set the table for maybe challenging for the ACC title and then getting a high seed in the NCAAs? I think we lost him.
Maybe we lost the connection with Doug. Hopefully he'll be calling back. Otherwise, it was a good question, but certainly
we'll just save that because he'll call back.
People are excited about lacrosse and Lars Tiffany and the program that he has already gotten underway, and certainly he will grow that program going forward.
There's no two ways about it.
Doug is back.
All right, very good. Doug, I don't know what happened. We lost you there.
That's okay. I was just going to say, in terms of what the coaches have been talking about is because they want to continue to play it the way they're playing.
Yes.
I think they just have to play the same way and just improve. You talked about a quality of schedule. I don't think there's any team in the country that's playing a better schedule than Virginia because, a couple of years ago, High Point and Richmond may have been schools they could have taken a little bit, lightly, but there are no light games on Virginia's schedule, and that's what I think attracts kids to the Virginia program, playing the best schedule in the country.
Well, I think that's a great attitude. And Lars Tiffany wants to take on all comers. I've had some conversations with him, and he expects a lot of the players in the program, and he expects them to be first-rate students and gentlemen off the field, and he wants them to compete hard on the field. And it's funny how he's had some players have been in hot water before the season began, but I think they've won him over. And
hey, Doug, before we let you go, we got a couple minutes. I'm always curious. How's the game changed since you played?
Bigger, faster, stronger. Well, I mean, as I said before, we kind of were the transition team between wooden sticks and plastic sticks. I mean, you talk about going back to my freshman year in 1969, all the players in the country had wooden sticks, and Virginia was actually the first team through Tommy Duquette and Jimmy Allman and teammates of mine. We were the first college team to actually play with plastic sticks. A lot of teams kind of resisted that. And so, that from the technical standpoint. But I think just so many more kids playing. I mean, just said, like Frank said, the reason why they're going to California, because there's so much excitement about lacrosse on the West Coast. It's a great way, frankly, it's a great recruiting trip because, there's so many players now all over the country playing from the state of California. In fact, two boys, Rob Embry and his brother, both Virginia players. One graduated. Rob was an excellent player on some of those fantastic teams at Donhead. So I think more than anything else, it's exposure to go to California to play Cornell. And like you said, Jim, these kids now are, these kids are coming out of schools where kids who played high school football that were recruits for college football programs are choosing to play lacrosse. That's the level of athlete, the speed, the weight, the off-season conditioning. That's one of the reasons why I think the game is just gotten better and better because of the quality of the athletes. And so many kids are playing at an earlier age. I mean, like I said, it's not unusual to see third and fourth graders out there with sticks.
Yeah, it's funny you say that because the kids playing college basketball today are not nearly the athlete I was.
Well, having watched you play, I will defer.
Hey, Doug, a couple of players that have been very exciting to follow this year. Mike DiMario, for one, who had that 7-goal game against Drexel. And then, let's see here, Michael Howard, who's from Richmond.
Right, great player, is he, wonderful kid from collegiate school.
Is he healthy now?
Had an ACC, all-ACC year last year, and unfortunately got a little bit of a bum ankle, so that certainly probably would have had an impact on the game Saturday.
And then talk about real quickly the goaltending situation. I know they had to throw Will Raley in there after the offseason issues for Barrett. Talk a little bit about how hard it is to be thrust into that sort of position, maybe when you didn't expect it.
Well, anytime you're a goalie in any sport, you know, you're kind of in a position where you are the last line of defense, and no matter what happens in front of you, you know, somebody always thinks it's the goalie's fault. I think Will has done an excellent job, and, you know, he's had some up-and-down games, but one of the things that has changed about Virginia, because they're playing at a faster pace, the game is much faster, and it's actually creating not only more shots for Virginia, but if you look at the game scores, it's creating more opportunities for the other team. You know,
yes.
When you have 16-15, 18-14, 20-12, 11-10, so Will's seeing more shots, and he's going to become more and more comfortable as the defense gets better and they become more accustomed to the style. But, you know, I think Will is, you know, Will 3-1. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. And the other two players quickly, Docs Aiken, who apparently has a real knack for passing and shooting, and also Tanner Scales appears to be healthy again, and that should bode well on defense, right?
Well, quickly, Docs Aiken is, I see right now, is the best freshman midfielder in the country.
Wow.
I mean, he's already been an All-ACC Player of the Week after the first week of the season. And he played on the U.S. Under-19 world team that won the world championship in Canada with Ryan along with Ryan Conrad. And, you know, to be a great defensive team, you have to be able to stop the best offensive player on a team, particularly on attack. And Tanner Scales has had a great start. Look what he did against Pat Spencer, a Towerton candidate, two assists against Loyola. He's become a shutdown defenseman, which is key to any defense.
We want to thank you for joining us tonight, and thank you for the overview on the new direction for the UVA men's lacrosse team. And hopefully we can get you back here.
Absolutely. Doug, he's really good.
Yeah, we should have done this a long time ago.
How come we haven't had him on before? What's going on here?
I was a knucklehead.
Hubbo, I'm just trying to be the next Dan Bonner.
That's it. Speaking of athletes. Now.
Hey, easy, Hubbo.
But at any rate, Doug, we really thank you and look forward to having you back.
You guys, and please, anytime I can, you know, help promote lacrosse and certainly the University of Virginia, I'll be glad to join you.
Well, cool. We thank you very much. You have a great night, and hopefully Wednesday night will be a big win.
And tonight, let's go Hoos.
Yeah, go Hoos.
Beat the Heels. All right, we're going to head to break, come back on the other side, the Olympic Sports Report, which Hubbo is going to participate in, and then we're going to handicap tonight's UVA-UNC game for the final moments of the show. Stay with us. Who's Talking has one more segment.